Are we actually taking advantage of some of the most important benefits of homeschooling? That's the topic of today's episode on the Dorenda Wilson podcast. Welcome, everyone. I'm Dorenda. I've been married to Daryl for 34 years. We have 8 kids and 10 grandkids, and we've been homeschooling for over 28 years. I'm also the author of 3 books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, The 4-Hour School Day, How You and Your Kids Can Thrive in the Homeschool Life, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, 31 Days in God's Word. All 3 of those books can be found on Amazon. They can also be found on my website, dorendawilson.com. And you can find the 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers, in addition to the places that I just mentioned. So I have to tell you guys a great little secret, but I can't tell you the whole thing. Okay, are you ready? I'm writing another book, and my hope is that it will be out by early spring or by February. So, I'm excited. I want to tell you the topic so badly, but I can't because I need to wait till it gets a little bit closer. But if you think about keeping me in your prayers, I would greatly appreciate it. I think this is a book that's been a long time coming, and it's actually going to be mercifully short as well. So yay, I'm so excited about it. I'm thrilled. I'm honored actually to be able to bring that kind of encouragement to you. And I'm honored as well to be able to do that here on the podcast. And in the last several months, this podcast has gone from 60,000 downloads a month to over 120 a month. And you know, it's just such a God thing. He is so good, and he's getting the message out there, and it's somehow resonating with moms. And I'm humbled and I'm grateful. And one of the ways that we can help get this in front of even more moms is if you'll take the time to rate or review this podcast. So if you've been encouraged here, please leave a rating or review. And then the platform, they do the rest. They push it out and kind of present it to moms who have maybe never seen it before. So I'd appreciate it if you can take a minute to do that. And if you can't, no worries at all. Also, are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animations synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray make learning math easy and effective. CTC is favorably reviewed by Kathy Duffy's 103 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review. The lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today and start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com, and I will leave a link in the show notes for that. I'll also leave a link for my books. I am excited about today's topic. This is the 4th and final in my series on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits of homeschooling. So each of those was in a separate episode. So if you miss them, I will leave the links in the show notes for you to follow. The other 3 were separate on physical, mental, and emotional benefits of homeschooling. And then of course, today we're covering the spiritual benefits. I'm going to start by reading a passage from God's Word, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This passage, moms, was one that really affirmed my husband and my decision to homeschool our kids, because as you can tell, as we read through that, I just see such a heart of discipleship here. You know, when you've got, you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, And having these words of God on our hearts, what is the next thing that we do? We want to teach them diligently to our children because we love our children and we want our children to come to the faith. But it goes on to say, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. I looked at that or listened to that and looked at that passage and thought, there's no way. I just did not believe that there was any way that my husband and I could do this without homeschooling our children. There's such a sense of walking alongside of your children and being with your children, just day in and day out, like Jesus was with his disciples, doing everything together, and just being there, living life alongside of each other. It is such an opportunity for discipleship. Now, if you aren't maybe real sure what discipleship is, I always like when I'm going to use a term that you all and myself are thinking the same thing. So this is what I mean by discipleship. It's a process of training people or children incrementally in a discipline or a way of life. It's a journey of spiritual growth that happens as a person follows the teachings and example of Jesus Christ. And discipleship involves a disciple-making mentor. And a disciple-making mentor intentionally shapes someone's understanding, attitudes, and behavior. Do you hear that? Intentionally shapes their attitudes and understanding and behavior. They're also modeling what a disciple looks like in word and deed. And like Paul, the mentor can say, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Now, moms, this doesn't mean that we're perfect, that we've got it all figured out, or that our husbands are perfect and have it all figured out. But it means we're trying to follow God with our whole lives, okay? We're modeling what a disciple looks like in word and deed. And what is the first characteristic of a disciple? They are teachable, right? And so we need to be thinking of discipling our children while also keeping a very teachable attitude, a very teachable spirit. The problem I think that we have with discipleship is we think about a teacher-student relationship in terms of the schools that we're so used to being part of. Most of us have gone to the traditional school and we're educated in a school system like that. And so I think we can sometimes have a misconception of what discipleship looks like because we think about the teacher disseminating information and the student, kind of just repeating back the information to make sure that they learned it. It's not a relational thing. It's an information-based type of teaching. And that's a very Greek method. The Hebrew method is one of discipleship. And we saw this in the life of Jesus as he lived life day in and day out with his disciples. Discipleship was very much how the Hebrews educated their children, their disciples. If someone was going to learn something, they would be with a rabbi, they would be with somebody, a mentor of some sort, and that mentor would intentionally shape their understanding and attitudes and behavior towards the scriptures, toward the God of the universe. And so, so we need to be thinking about discipleship differently. We need to be thinking about not that we have all the answers, but that we do know some things. We know more than our children do about God, right? And so we have things we can teach them, but we also have things that we're going to learn right alongside of them. I think about my own parents who gave their lives to the Lord when they found out they were pregnant with me outside of marriage and decided to get married. They were still pretty young in their faith, even though they had grown up in the church. There was some background there, but that commitment wasn't there until they were about to be parents. And so there was a lot of growth that still needed to happen. And so I think they did a lot of growing right alongside of me, but it was all good because we were learning together. And so it was really still a wonderful way for my parents to disciple me. And so I think that we need to think about it that way, especially if you're a first generation Christian and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to disciple my child? I haven't been raised in the church. It's okay. God knows right where you're at. If you are hungry and thirsty for the Lord and His word, you're going to be just fine. And again, you can learn right alongside of your kids. But in terms of homeschooling, this is one of the most important, I think it is the most important benefit of homeschooling, is that it gives us this opportunity to be the biggest influence in our kids' lives. And that is a responsibility. But I will say that if it weren't for my children and my desire, my husband and my desire to disciple them and to that we would see them grow up to embrace the faith, I would not have responded as well or as consistently to God working to sanctify me through all the different situations that we faced along the way. So God uses parenting for the believer to help sanctify them in ways that I think are virtually impossible to learn any other way. And because we love our children to the moon and back, we are more likely to say, okay, Lord, what do you want in this situation? What do you want me to do? How can I example to my kids what it looks like to be a true believer? So again, that opportunity to be the biggest influence in our kids' lives is a responsibility, but it is also a privilege, moms. It is an absolute privilege. And that idea of being the biggest influence in our kids' lives, it is a biblical concept. It is a biblical principle. It is the way that God designed the family. Don't let anyone else tell you anything different than that. We have this culture that is screaming back to us, and this government that's screaming back to us that they are in charge, that we have to yield to what they think is best for our children. And that is absolutely, absolutely against the word of God. It is diametrically opposed to everything that God intends for the Christian family. God designed the family to be the most influential part of a child's life as they're growing up. So we have to embrace this responsibility. We have to remain teachable. We have to walk in obedience to God with Jesus discipling us as we disciple our children. Again, none of us does this perfectly or is fully prepared for this. So no matter where we are in our Christian journey, we are still responsible to disciple our children. But let me tell you something. When God says in His word, if you lack wisdom, just ask and I'll give it generously, but you've got to believe without doubting. I'm telling you, that is one of the most powerful scriptures that I have gone back to over and over again as a parent in my marriage, in our homeschooling, because God is faithful. He will provide everything that you need. What is this? I always say, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And He does that when we are teachable and we are running to Him and we are going to His word to find our direction. So we have to walk in obedience to God with Jesus discipling us as we disciple our children. And we do this by modeling like daily practices. This is probably the biggest place where we will have that kind of influence on our kids, okay? So it's daily practices and rhythms. So let's talk about daily practices just briefly. Kind of what I mean by that is more like along the lines of your personal devotions and your family worship. So you have a practice of bringing your own heart before the Lord and being in the word and in prayer. And you have a practice of the family coming together and being in God's word and praying together. It does not have to be long. It does not have to be drawn out. It just needs to be consistent as possible. Now, can I just tell you something funny? This will make you feel really good. So over the years, we were, faithful to do Bible reading at the dinner table. That was the best place for us to do it because everyone was always there every night. And that was just part of our daily rhythm. And so that was a great place for us to sit and be in the Word with as a family. And everybody was there. We could start before everybody finished eating, even if we wanted to, so that, you know, it just made it easier. If they were gone from the table, it's like herding cats, right? So they were already there. And so they were eating. And so we would go right into Bible reading and prayer. And again, it didn't have to be long. Sometimes it ended up being long because we had great discussions. But we would do that for a while and then we would fall off the wagon and then we'd have to get back on. And I mean, after years and years of that ebb and flow, I got a little discouraged. I thought, Lord, why is it that we keep falling off the wagon? And I almost gave up. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, Dorinda, the point is that you're getting back on. That's the point. And also, let me say, moms, it was the rule, not the exception, that we were in God's word each night. Okay, so fast forward. And you know what my children say? Our grown children say this. They say, oh yeah, we sat by the dinner table and we read the Bible every single night. Isn't that awesome? God's grace is so wonderful. It just oozes over those places where we fall short, but we keep trying. We keep getting back on. We keep walking in obedience. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. Also, I also wanted to share, you know, I mentioned my mom earlier, being, you know, like 18 years old when she had me, and my dad was barely 18, and they were married. They were, you know, doing the family thing very, very early and still, you know, kind of definitely growing in their faith at that place where they were actually owning it, you know. And I remember getting up every morning and seeing my mom throughout all my growing up years, sitting on the couch, reading her Bible and praying. And you know what? She didn't have to say one word. She didn't have to tell me how important it was. She showed me by being there every morning doing that. And there are lots of different ways that we can do that. And so I want to encourage you. There's a couple of podcast episodes that I've done recently. One is on family worship with Steve Demme, and the other is on motherhood and devotions and the reality of motherhood and devotions. So I'm going to leave the links in the show notes. If that's something you'd like to listen to, I think it'll be a real encouragement to you. But again, we want to have family rhythms that reflect God's plan for family. And what I mean by that is family is priority. Okay, I talk about this in nurturing sibling relationships. We need to make sure that our kids are playing with each other more than they're playing with other kids. It's the easiest thing to let them go and play with the people that they like. It's the harder thing when it's the people that they know every day. And this is what happens in families. We take each other for granted. But we have to teach our kids that these relationships are worth nurturing. So we're going to say no to some things in order to nurture the sibling relationships. And again, I'll leave links for that as well for you to listen to. But we want our kids to understand that family is of utmost importance. It is a priority. And we model that by where we spend our time and whether or not we choose to spend it with our children. And also encouraging our children and sometimes making them spend time together. And what I mean by that is maybe you've decided, okay, this is this event out here isn't something I'm going to allow so-and-so to go to because there's been too much going on and the family is kind of fraying and we want to kind of retie those family strings and the child doesn't like it. You know what? That's okay. You know, when we're learning things and we're learning what's important, we know this in our relationship with God. When we're learning what's important, God will have us do things we don't want to do. And then we realize, oh my goodness, this is actually really important. This is something that I should be doing. So why would it be any different as we're raising our children? We want to convey to them how important family is. And another family rhythm that I think is important is resting on Sundays. That doesn't mean you can't do anything fun. It means we do differently on Sundays. We worship. We make worship with other believers a priority. I know some of you have messaged me and said you struggle with finding a biblical church. I have a podcast on how to find a biblical church, and I'll leave that in the show notes. But we need to show our kids that it is important to sit under biblical teaching. It is important to fellowship with other believers. And obviously we can fellowship outside of the church, because a lot of times the deepest fellowship doesn't necessarily happen after or before a church service. It's going to happen having people over for dinner. It's going to happen going and meeting another mom from church with her kids at the park or the river. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we want to have these rhythms that reflect God's plan for family and just for our lives. And he does say that it's important for us to rest on Sundays, to do something different, to start it out with worship, of course, but then to just do things that are refreshing, things that remind us of the Lord, things that turn our hearts toward God, whether that's like having a great meal with friends, whether it's going out in nature together. There's just a lot of different things we can do. But again, we want to set a family rhythm that says that rest is important. It's just as important as work. Okay. And worship with other believers is important. Okay. Also, one of the ways that we influence our kids through modeling to them is how we deal with sin. Okay. So this could probably be a whole episode in and of itself, but let me just put it in a short version, a simple, mercifully short version. When sin happens, it needs to be addressed. Okay. So, and what does it look like to address it? It's to name it and to say we're sorry, whether that's us as parents having sinned against our children sinning against us or against each other or someone else. The right thing to do, the biblical thing to do, is to ask forgiveness. So you're going to say, forgive me for being prideful. You can say forgive me, or you can say, will you forgive me for being prideful? Or that was prideful and that, or that was hurtful. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's a true apology. That is truly asking for the person's forgiveness. Do we have to feel like doing it? No. I've said this before. God calls us to obedience, whether we feel like it or not. And he tells us in his word that when we offend someone, when we have done something, we have sinned against someone, and hopefully, you know, what we do want to try to name the sin, because if you can't name the sin, then maybe an unnecessary offense. I don't know. I'm just saying, name the sin, apologize for the offense, and make it right. Ask for forgiveness. And so again, we do this because God's word says to do it, not because we feel like it. And we have our children do it, not because they feel like it, not when their little heart is ready to do it, but to just do it out of obedience, and the feelings will follow, and the change of heart will follow. It might not follow that day or that week or that month, but if we're consistent in that, it will change. It is guaranteed. God is a good God and he is faithful to his word. Okay, we model how we treat others. And I think that was actually a pretty good example previous, what I just explained about dealing with sin. But how we treat other people matters. How we treat strangers, how we treat the cashier in the grocery store, how we treat the librarian, how we treat other people at church, how we treat the difficult people in our lives. We want to set a good example of that. And then, of course, being teachable, seeking wisdom by learning from others. I know that this is one of the ways that you all do this, and I'm honored and privileged to be part of that process of Titus 2, where it talks about older women encouraging the younger women to love their husbands and children and be busy at home, to have their hearts oriented towards their home being a priority. And so that's one of the examples of how we seek wisdom by learning from others. I will say, online sources I consider as supplemental. Okay. This is wonderful to have the podcast. I'm so thankful that you listen, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity, but you need real people in your life as well. Real life relationships. Even if it's hard, it's so important to have real life relationships and to be learning from others in real life, sitting under biblical teaching. This is also, again, I'm just reiterating this again, how important that is. We model that for our children. We say this is important. This matters. We are renewing our covenant with God each week because we blow it during the week. We do every single week. And praise God for his grace, but we get to go to church. Of course, we try to make things right each day with God, but coming to church as believers and practicing that together in community and taking the sacraments, you know, is really, really important. That remembering is so, so important. Now, in terms of education, the spiritual aspect of homeschooling, the benefits of homeschooling are that you get to choose curriculum. You get to choose, right? You get to choose curriculum that teaches from a biblical worldview. So I've got an upcoming episode on teaching the attributes of God, and we have so many wonderful sources. Elizabeth Urbanowitz is on that episode with me talking about her new series that we are personally using called The Attributes of God. And it's a wonderful way. We have all these resources, moms. We have all these resources to be able to teach our children. In fact, the resources can be overwhelming and sometimes overcomplicated. Often overcomplicated. So I want to encourage you, don't get weighed down by all the resources. Go to the Lord first for wisdom. Ask him to direct your steps so that you know for sure that it's him directing you to certain resources, because that's going to save you a load of trouble and a load of trying things that aren't going to work, being burdened by all the options out there. But that's one of the things I love doing here is being able to provide you with what I know are solid biblical options. And so I don't talk a ton about curriculum because I am not the curriculum queen. I kept everything so incredibly simple, but we did choose biblical curriculum. But that's the option we have as homeschooling parents. We get to teach from a biblical worldview. Even if that's just we're walking along the way with our kids and we see something happen and we can relate it back to God's word, that's giving our kids a biblical worldview. When we're struggling with something and they know we're struggling, and we just look at them and say, maybe it's too complicated for them, but we just say to them, you know, mommy's really struggling with something, but I'm going to take it to the Lord and I'm going to be looking in his word and I know that he's going to be faithful. And then when you get some sort of encouragement, tell them, say, you know what? Remember when I told you I was struggling and I went to do this? This is what God showed me. These are simple, simple ways, moms, that we instill a love for God and just an awareness of his greatness. We want our kids to grow up and get to the point where they know that this is a God that is worthy to be served, that he is real and he is tangible and he is present and he is powerful and he is good and he's all the things that we would want a God to be and that we need a God to be. So we can help them do that in such a personal way. The other benefit of homeschooling is that we're able to stop and discipline, to build character, to guide, to teach, to point out where God is and what he is doing. So, and also part of the spiritual benefits of homeschooling is being able to protect our children from things they simply are not ready for. Okay, so we think about it in terms of a greenhouse, okay? Little baby seed goes into really, really nice, rich soil with a very controlled environment. In order for that seed to get a strong, healthy start, it has to be protected from the elements. It has to be cared for and nurtured. And this is how our children are. They're not fine china, but they definitely need us to protect them from the world. And that is not turning a blind eye. That is not preparing them. We can prepare them all in good time. This is actually part of preparing them, is we protect them from all, as much of the yuck as we can. And we bring and show as much truth and beauty and goodness to them as possible. I did a podcast episode on this with Pastor Wes, where he talked about why morality can't happen, or goodness and beauty and truth cannot happen without morality. And then I talked in the second episode about how to find it in our own lives, in the simplicity of our own lives, because it's important for our kids to be surrounded with that. And then as they get older, the little plant gets stronger, right? It gets bigger, still needs to be protected to a certain degree. Then it gets to the point where you can put it outside on a nice day, right? And then bring it back in. And then you can put it out in more and more weather that is not the greatest, right? And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And then eventually it is ready to be planted out into the garden. And that particular plant will bear much fruit because it has had that nurture and care from the beginning, someone paying attention and having a pulse on these kids physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That is what's going to grow strong, healthy plants. Another thing that we need to be careful of is we don't fall into that trap of thinking that, oh gosh, are our kids missing an opportunity to be missionaries in the field? Can I just say that is the biggest lie on the planet? Okay. Missionaries, I mean missionaries in the schools. That's what I'm talking about. Not in out in the mission field. I'm talking about in the schools. We've been told, oh, Christian kids should be in the schools because they can be missionaries. That is a bunch of baloney. Because again, these little plants aren't ready for that job yet. Anytime you turn someone out into the mission field, they have been through a lot of training beforehand to get them ready to go out in the mission field. Moms, our children at home, that is our mission field. If you talk to any missionary out there, they will tell you that their job would be so much easier if they could have the children, the people from the very beginning. If they could have those people from day one, they could waylay so much grief in that person's life and lead them to the Lord so much sooner. We have that opportunity with our children. We have that opportunity to have them from day one, to disciple them and to grow them into strong, healthy adults who love the Lord. This is such an important thing to remember, such an important benefit of homeschooling to remember. Lastly, I think this whole idea of not exasperating our children is something that can be better avoided by homeschooling. And what I'm talking about, let me refer back to the scripture. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it talks about fathers, and it means parents as well. Do not exasperate your children, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what happens when a parent exasperates their child? Well, it causes them to be angry, discouraged. It can cause anxiety, depression, all kinds of symptoms that basically say, I'm not getting what I actually need. When you go to the public school system, that system is exasperating for children. It often requires them to do things they're not ready for, be exposed to things that they're not ready for. It requires them to have a herd mentality of just survival. Now, transfer that child back home to a nurturing, loving environment where the parents are seeking the Lord and creating this environment at home that is full of God's peace and presence. How much more quickly and efficiently and is that child going to learn? How much more easily is that child going to learn? So again, the spiritual benefits of homeschooling do very much relate to our kids' education. So also, I want to leave a link for you in the show notes to a podcast episode I did a while back with Israel Wayne called Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And yes, he most certainly does. Moms, what we want to do is raise these children for the Lord, and we definitely want to take advantage of the benefits, spiritual benefits of homeschooling our kids. I hope you've enjoyed this series. I hope if you haven't listened to the other episodes, you'll go back and listen and be encouraged. Thanks so much for being here with me today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to disciple our children. Lord, I pray for every mom here who has taken on the responsibility of homeschooling their child. Lord, obviously this is a team effort. If we're married, this is a team effort, but we know that often, more often than not, moms are the ones required to do the day in and day out. And those are the ones who are listening here. And so I just want to pray over every one of them and every family and every child represented, every marriage as well. God, I pray for wisdom. I pray for direction. I pray that each one of these moms would have a deeper understanding of her and her husband's responsibility to disciple the children. Lord, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be a bunch of curriculum. It doesn't have to be a whole separate thing. It's a lifestyle. And so, Lord, I pray that each of these moms listening would understand and have a vision for what it looks like to move towards a discipling lifestyle with their children, Lord. I pray that each one of these moms would take what they heard today and talk with their husbands about it and come to an agreement on what that looks like at this season of life. God, we're thankful for the privilege of homeschooling our children. May we do it well. May we be found faithful to raise them in the nurture and admonition of you. In Jesus' name, amen.